Greetings, fellow warriors. This is Captain Cordan Sutai Krenazan, commanding officer of the Global Fleet of CAG. And today we are joined with Second Lieutenant Patrick Krenazan, Gil Bloom, commanding officer of CAG Israel, and also commanding officer of IKV Lions of the Kotel. Greetings, Petrith. Shabbat Shalom. The Shavuot Tov. How are you today, my friend?
Shavuot Tov. Thank you. First, I would like to thank you for the invitation, and I'm glad to be here before you today. Greeting to all the audience here, and Jim, thank you.
Ah, you're welcome.
I feel fine today. And I don't have any complaints.
That's good to hear, Lieutenant. That's good to hear. Also today, we are joined by the recording engineer, Jim Arrowwood, Lieutenant Commander Jajem, the commanding officer of the IKV Battle J. How are you today, Commander?
I'm doing very well.
Excellent. Excellent. Good to hear. Good to hear. Well, let's get into this interview with our member from Israel. Patrick, what can you tell us about who you are, and what can you tell us about yourself as Gil Bloom?
Okay, my name is Gil Bloom. You have my family origin is from France. My father is from the Alsace region. That's why my last name is Bloom, is from German. German is original, the flower. This is the area was just, sometime it was in Germany, sometime it's in France. My mother is from Paris. They immigrated to Israel in 1971. I am 48 years old. I am divorced. I have 1 year, 11 years old son. I work at the hospital, Shamir Medical Center. Work in the hospital engineering. I'm not engineering, but in the engineering department. My job is mainly to supervise contractors who work in the hospital. I live in a city called Rosh Ha'Ain, whose interpretation is the head of the spring. It's near to Tel Aviv. The city was actually established from a logistical base of the British Mandate Army. After they left in the 48, when the Israel is established. I love the city. Yes. The city was inhabited mainly by Jews that brought to Israel from Yemen in 1949. Mm-hmm. And around the city, there are still a sign of left from the base, a British building that are familiar with the to us from the film about the World War II, Guard Tower, and et cetera. I live here from 2013. I served the army 3 years when I was 18. I served 3 years in the artillery corps.
Artillery.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. The big guns.
Big guns. Yes. The howitzer one.
Yes, and as many people know internationally, that service in the Israel Defense Forces is mandatory for males and females. Males usually choice, yes, between 2 and 4 years, and females for 2 years only. Unless the UNSC wants to go longer than that, they can extend their contract with the IDF. Yes, no?
Yes, okay. Not everyone.
Just selective occupations?
Yes, if you're an officer or something, yeah.
I see.
Or not only officer, but if you have a job that needed, of course.
Let's say infantry or medical or aviation, I'm sure. There's other militaries that are occupations that are in high demand, I imagine.
It's like every army.
Yes. All right. And very good, Lieutenant. What first got you interested in Klingons? And what first got you interested in playing Klingons?
The first series I saw was the original. And I didn't not immediately fall in love with the Klingons. They were present mostly in a shell of dictator manner, but...
Yes, for some, yeah. The appreciation of Klingons is an acquired taste.
Yeah, in the first that I was in the chapter that Birthright,
uh-huh.
If I recall, it was the name Birthright. This was the first one that I really start to see Klingon in a deep way. I think.
Yes, Harvey.
We have the privilege to see a vulnerable side of the Klingons. And you saw the kids, that a Klingon that was captured and they lost the honor and the shame. Don't see all the brave warrior that we used to see.
Yes. Not only does some episodes portray the relationship between the father and son, like Worf and Alexander. But this episode shines a light on the family unit of Klingons and how close and attached they can be outside the realm of combat and war and battle. And it shows their connection to what makes a person a being, what makes them Klingon, their stories, their songs, their history. Yes, that is a very powerful episode there. Very very good example within it.
And there is another one from DS9. The chapter was called The Warrior of the Empire.
Ah, yes. Very favorite episode of many Kaga warriors there. Yes, definitely.
And there we saw the vulnerable side also. We saw the frustration with the failure and the warrior spirit when the pride returns.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And thinking back to watching that episode, one cannot help but feel something growing inside them when they see the pride return to Martok as Worf challenges him on his own bridge, and you see the reaction of the bridge crew and the entire crew between them fighting. It's just a very powerful scene, definitely. Another good example there. Now, Lieutenant, what would you say attracts you to science fiction in general?
Science fiction. My first science fiction, I remember when I was a child, and fall in love is in science fiction in general, was the from an original Japanese anime that was converted to American TV show. I don't know how many remember it. It was called in the United States Star Blazer.
The name does not sound familiar, but I'm sure there are people out there that is definitely familiar with that type of animation.
The original name of this show was the Space Battleship Yamato.
Ah, this was, yes.
So this is the first one I remember and fell in love in science fiction. I was a child, maybe 8 years old, I think.
Wow, okay. That is going back a few years, yes?
Yes. I love a lot of science fiction.
Yes, very good.
From that.
Now, are there any other fandoms that you like, whether it be mystery, drama, crime stories, anything like that at all whatsoever?
Science fiction or not particular
besides,
science fiction?
Besides science fiction, mystery, drama, suspense, horror?
I love a lot of the NCSI.
That seems to be a very popular show.
Yes, JAG. JAG.
Yeah.
I very love JAG.
Yes, that was a good series when me and my wife watched it. And it was militarily well done. Being a former U.S. military myself, I was always drawn to the ribbons and how the uniforms were worn, just to make sure of the accuracy. And from what I remember, they actually did their research going on from beyond season 1 and 2. They got pretty much everything right. as in the uniforms. So well done to the TV show at JAG from USA. And that
I love it.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a series about the firefighter. Today it's the Chicago Fire or Station 19. Uh-huh. In the past, it was called a Firehouse.
Yes, my wife and I, we also enjoy the Chicago EMS TV shows, Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, and Chicago Police. Yes, those are very nicely done as well. And being living here in Chicago, we're very happy to see that the city itself plays a role in the show, as does New York to the Law and Order series of shows. Very good. Now, Lieutenant, do you have a favorite Klingon throughout the whole Star Trek series?
A Klingon character.
Mm-hmm.
I believe like Core.
Commander and leader of the Harmaster Corps, yes.
Harmaster Corps.
And why would you say that would be?
Well, I saw him first in the original series. Then he had a kind of charming charm. I don't know how to describe. He have a charm.
Yes, he is. I like to use the term urbane, because he's not easily impressed by his opponent's accomplishments. He may say, oh, yes, you know, Captain Kirk, finally I'm able to, you know, meet you on this planet. But you know that, yes, he's impressed, but he doesn't make it seem like he's starstruck. Well, of course, being a Federation officer, big deal. But I think he's more impressed with Kirk's battle record than anything else. And also, he's seen it all, and he's done so much in his career, reaching the rank of commander, that he has the attitude that I've seen it all, I've done it all, and I can appreciate it, but it's not going to faze me for me to do my duty for the Empire. And I'll tell you, Patrick, that the interviews that we have done in the past, almost to every single interviewee that we've spoken to, they all mentioned Commander Core in the original series. So I think we have a common thread going through these interviews with the Global Fleet officers, that Commander Core is the ultimate Klingon to look up to.
Yeah. Besides his charm, he also, I think, is connecting between the original series we first, some of us saw in the first time, and in DS9, in the present, and the continue.
Yes, indeed.
It's connect us all, all the series, I think, it's, as I see it.
Yes, and also, I don't know how much Star Trek Discovery that you've seen over there in Israel, but they do mention the House of Kor with the new Discovery Klingons that Paramount has unleashed to the public audience. So there is some type of connection, even going to the Discovery episodes. But it's not unless one rewatches the show, the first couple of episodes dealing with Discovery Klingons, to hear the House of Kor mentioned, to be able to, or even with new fans, the new audiences that may not have seen TNG or the original series or even DS9, to know that the House of Kor and the character of Kor has been prevalent throughout the whole Star Trek Enterprise, no pun intended.
Escort us from the beginning.
Yes, yes. Well put, well said, well said. And also, Lieutenant, is there a favorite Klingon episode besides the two that you mentioned, Birthright, Soldiers of the Empire? Or
yes, I have another one. I love those two, and I have from the Voyager. It was called. I wrote it somewhere here for me.
Does it deal with B'Elanna's child or B'Elanna's?
No.
The other one, Barge of the Dead.
No, Rightful Heir, I think, maybe.
Rightful Heir.
I think in Voyager when they count with the Klingon ship in the Delta Quadrant that they are flowing. No, not Rightful Heir. Rightful Heir is the TNG, I think. When Worf is went to a cave to search the spirit from Kallus. Yes.
That is a TNG episode. Yes, yeah.
But there is in Voyager, they count a Klingon ship that a group of Klingon went to search Kallus. And the Voyager met them.
Yes, I cannot remember the name of that episode.
I don't remember too.
But
you see, there is not always about a fight, a war. It's Klingon have a spirit. They are a religious, not just their belief, not just a blindless warrior.
Exactly. And it seems that as a point that Gene Roddenberry seemed to have tried to steer away from the feeling of spirituality is very prevalent throughout the entire series of Star Trek shows. In this case, it is the Klingon spirituality and the followers of Kayla. So yes, that's another good example there of again a different facet of a Klingon society, not only focus on war and fighting, but what it is to be Klingon and why honor is such a big part of Klingon society. Yes, very good. And now, Petr, what got you interested in or attracted to the Klingon assault group?
Well, I believe it's your fault.
Yeah.
The first time you wrote in the Star Trek, Israeli Star Trek page of Star Trek.
Yes.
Was the first time I heard about the keg. I didn't heard it before.
Yeah. I think now that's 4 years ago, believe it or not, when the when our late Thought Admiral, Chris Epitai Kakura, John Harrelson, blessed be his memory, when he found out that I'm Jewish, and my idea, when I came across the Star Trek Israel page, that I should mention something on that page to see if there's any Israeli Klingons that may want to join our global community. So it was his suggestion and his urging me on to do so that attracted and got you you signed up and the 6-7 crew members that now reside in Israel. So it wasn't all me. It was our late Thought Admiral. Very good. Now, Papa, what is there anything that you can tell us about your CAG persona, Petr Kranazan? Who is he? What is he like?
He's a Klingon from the area that between the original series to the first film, Dimensions, Star Trek Dimensions movie.
So he's in
there is a big gap. What's happened to the Klingons between this period of time?
Yes.
Between when they infected with the virus. But no, this is after that the original ended, and what's happened when they appear in the movie?
Yes,
when they have the ridge on their head.
Yes, yes.
There is a gap of a couple hundred years. I think
it was 150 years between the time periods, approximately.
Something like that.
Yes. And that's a very good time period to portray, because I do not read the novels that are out there, but I believe that most of the Klingon fandom is not aware of the Klingons during that time period, from the original series to the motion picture era.
Sure.
So that's a very good time period to flesh out and play with. And your uniform portrays it very, very nicely.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a mix of, I believe you have a silver vest with Klingon ridges. Yes, so very well done there.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and a lieutenant, does your persona face any challenges right now, whether it be costuming or languages or appearances as a Klingon?
Well, right now, I would like to learn more the language, to start to learn more.
A good starting point would be a Duolingo. They do have a course there. It's free. And even I have started that. And it seems very comprehensive and very easy to follow along.
I will search it.
Yes. And is there anything that your character likes to do within your persona?
I would like to do more here, to make sure that the Klingon here, you know, they're here to stay in Israel.
That's always
anyway.
Good to hear. but of course,
we are a very small community, and a very small Klingon community. Star Trek is not exactly something that you name it, and everybody know and share with it. It's the media and most of it sees something outside, not outsider, but something like something nice from like Halloween or something, not or in our holiday, it's Purim, but not more from this.
Yes, unfortunately, just like a lot of foreign TV markets, Star Trek is not as prevalent in those markets as it has been for the last 55 years in American television. And because of that, so many countries lack the knowledge that Star Trek can impart to the viewing audiences. And I believe at one time, you might have mentioned that the thought of Star Trek in Israel is more nostalgic than anything else. It just brings back happy thoughts and feelings to the time when the viewer first saw the episode, but it wasn't shown enough so many times that it actually imparted the meaning of the episode to the person watching it. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes. No, this is majestic. I grew with this. I grew up with this series mm-hmm. all the time. More another shows from the 70s, 80s, but this is the one that always was the above of all. This show, the science fiction, the future of Star Trek that bring you hope from the future.
Right. But as of streaming services as we have now, it was not as common on television in different countries as it was in the United States. I mean, literally, Lieutenant, we were able to see Star Trek at least once a week, every month, every year, somewhere in the United States. Whereas, for example, in France, they did not have the Star Trek viewing options until 5 years ago only. So there's a big gap of people that might have been very avid Star Trek fans, as opposed to, this is just now getting to us. So I believe the fandom has been a gift or taken short of the enjoyment of Star Trek as we have had it here in the United States.
you have in like Netflix, you have the series, but it's not like you today. It's not here anyway. It's not something that everyone see. Star Trek. Wow, Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
This is not our defense. That's how the few fans saw it or see it.
Right. And
I hope
correct me if I am wrong, but in Israel, there's really only two conventions that cover anything science fiction or anime or fantasy throughout your calendar year over there. Is that correct?
Yes, this is correct. There's in around April, in the Passover days, there is a conversion of science fiction. And the Sukkot, in around October, November, this is the main two conventions that we have. The Star Trek is the small part of it, not a main issue in this. But yes. Maybe this new Star Trek series that we have, maybe it will be go more.
Yes, a lot of people are really looking forward to a Strange New World with Captain Pike and the crew there. But, you know, when Star Trek is lacking new movies coming out every 2-3 years and trying to deal with Star Wars and that franchise, and now with Dune, and there are growing fandom there. And of course, there's also always the anime crowd. So yes, there's a very, very big competition for the Star Trek fans out there. And it's just important that those fans out there that are able to do it represent, you know, the different parts of the Star Trek universe, be it a Klingon or Federation or a Vulcan, Andorian, what have you, Mirror Universe even, because if the fandom does not continue to represent, you know, we're going to be forgotten and left behind. So hopefully Strange New Worlds will fire up and get people out to the conventions again.
It's about the publisher that have to push to public the name Star Trek, like Star Wars. Star Wars is pushing their name. This is pushing it everywhere. So it's the Star Wars is like second breath. You said Star Trek, you don't see it. So this is the why we are behind them.
And even if we have to take a back seat to Doctor Who, they have been around longer than Star Trek has. But if it wasn't for Star Trek, who knows if Star Wars would have happened whatsoever. And it's really sad to see that Star Trek, because of different reasons I'm not going to get into, that fandom is being fallen at the wayside and being left behind, as opposed to all the different fandoms out there. I've mentioned Dune. Of course, the Star Wars, it's like being beat over the head with, and other science fiction fandoms out there that if we don't start representing, we're going to be forgotten about. So Strange New Worlds has a lot riding on it. And now,
we have
Lieutenant,
a lot of hope for it.
Yes, yes. Now, Lieutenant, if you can you tell us about your area or your country's a view on science fiction or even a Trek in general?
Science fiction and fantasy is it's not a small size. There is a lot of fans of science fiction, you think. There are a lot of movies of science fiction that succeed in the movie. But Star Trek, the name Star Trek, it's not something that you hear about it in the wow manner. I don't think it's they see it like something as a joke. No, it's the media when they interview someone in there was about Star Trek. It was a once time. They see it like a joke. It's not something serious.
That is unfortunate. Because,
yes, unfortunately.
Yes, because Israel, they have contributed immensely to the space program, the International Space Program. Back in 2003, there was a former former Israeli defense officer from the Air Force, Colonel Ilan Ramon, that was a test specialist on the Columbia, and he was the first Israeli astronaut after being a very successful fighter pilot in the Israeli Air Force. But blessed be his name, him and the rest of his crew perished when Columbia came back to Earth 15 minutes before their actual touchdown, and they burned up in orbit. So again, blessed be his name, Colonel Ilan Ramon. And currently, there is a private citizen from Israel, again, a former Israeli Air Force pilot that served with Colonel Ramon. Can you tell us about that current astronaut there, Lieutenant?
Yes, it's Eitan Stivia, I think. He's the second Israeli astronaut. He's a private. He's right now in the International Station that conducting experiments.
If I read it right, I believe he's conducting experiments on a form of a radiation protection for astronauts. And I don't know. I didn't see when he is going to be returning or how long his mission is for. But finally, Israel got an astronaut up there again. And also, Israel attempted a moon landing not too long ago.
Yeah, right. It's a private company that tried to land a vessel in the moon. They start in the Google contribution context, exactly. And after the no one win, they decided to continue and accomplish the mission. Israel have satellites
mm-hmm.
in space.
Unfortunately, that moon mission did not quite
failed. Yes, they failed and crashed. But,
yes, but they did attempt it, and I do believe there's plans for Israel to go back to the moon within the next 20 years, if I remember correctly. So hopefully they'll be able to do it again.
I think Israel have footsteps in space.
Yes,
this indeed. Is the manner. But,
and it would be hard to believe that the late Colonel Ramon and now Eitan up there in the ISS. It's hard to believe that they were never influenced by Star Trek whatsoever. So I would like to believe that. Somehow, Star Trek was some part of their life as they were growing up.
I believe so, because Star Trek, the original, was broadcast in the 70s, 80s, I think, mm-hmm. and when there was only one channel in Israel. So mm-hmm. we didn't have any choice to see something else. So
yeah,
when they broadcast Star Trek, we all saw it.
Yeah, when you only have a one station to rely on, it's kind of limited on what you're able to watch.
Right. You don't have a lot of choice.
Yeah. So would you say that the general attitude of Israel towards Star Trek being nostalgic or something humorous or a joke or however...
Something humor, I think. It's so it, when you say Kirk... Everybody hear about it, but it's and you say Picard, not everyone is recognized.
Right, and would you say from what you have experienced, would that be the general attitude towards Trek at all?
Yeah, something like that. Even my workplace, I think I'm the only one that loves Star Trek, so I understand what is Star Trek.
Well, you break out
when I spoke with co-worker, nobody know this show. We don't see it. We don't saw it in the past.
Well,
maybe then when they are a child, but not anymore. But something passed in the past. Okay.
Well, if you're able to bring a kosher bloodline to work around the time of Purim, maybe they'll change their attitude very quickly. But how you're going to make a bloodline kosher, I would have no idea.
Only synthetic blood.
All right, Lieutenant, we're getting to the end here pretty soon. What would you say would be your future plans for CAG right now?
Well, I hope I will go in CAG, learn more the language, learn more and make things and publish things about the Klingons thing here.
Talking with more people and just getting them interested in a Trek in general, and then possibly getting them interested in CAG, yes?
Also, of course.
Yeah.
It's about not staying only me, or only the few, five, six, or seven of us.
Oh,
if we can grow, if we can grow more, it'll be great.
That always seems to be a challenge. It seems that some people are very good at getting newer members, and some people, it's just not their thing, whereas the language, they're spot on with the language or costuming or what have you. Well, Lieutenant, this has been a very good interview with you. I'm glad you have taken the time to join us. If anybody wants...
The honor was on me. It was my honor to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, if anybody wishes to get a hold of you, is there a way to get a hold of you on Facebook or email or Twitter at all?
Yes. My name is, it's my name, the human me. It's Gil Bloom. I'm in the all the Klingon, most of the Klingon group, so they can find me there.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, again, Gil, thank you for joining us today. And we hope that CAG Israel continues to grow and be successful. Of course, as the exo of CAG Israel, I would love to see it grow tremendously. But we have to take it day by day. And is there any...
On the long run, stay plan to grow.
And is there any parting thoughts that you would like to leave with our audience here?
I hope everybody will be good. We'll hope we will meet in person, not in Facebook, when all the COVID thing will be over.
I've always said that Tel Aviv or Eilat would be a perfect city for a Star Trek convention out there in Israel. What do you think?
I think it will be great.
Yes, yes.
Everything that you bring here will be glorious.
Indeed it would. Well, Warriors, that brings us to a close with our interview with Second Lieutenant Patrick Prenazan, Gil Bloom, the commanding officer of CAG Israel and the IKV Lions of the Kotel. And we hope you've enjoyed this interview. And
thank you very much. Thank you all for hearing. And thank you, Jim.
You're very welcome.
And on behalf for myself, and on behalf of Lieutenant Commander Jajim and Lieutenant Krenazan there, to all of CAG and the Global Fleet, Kappa! Kappa.